Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, folks. Dr. Joe Cantor, the state health officer for the state of Louisiana, joins us. Doc, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noah. Very nice to be back with you.
Doc, what are the latest numbers reported as it relates to COVID?
We're doing okay. So COVID appears to have peaked statewide. This was our, still is, but our seventh surge. So cases are going down on a statewide level. They're also going down in seven of our nine regions. In New Orleans and Baton Rouge, they're still plateauing, but I would expect them to turn down soon. And we've got about 330 COVID positive inpatients in hospital beds throughout the state. And that's down about 60 or 70 from where it was last week. So all of that is very encouraging. Percent positivity of COVID tests came down from 12.5 to 8.7%. And I think that'll continue decreasing further. Equally important is flu and RSV are both down for us. Flu is down to just 2.3% of all ER visits in the state. 2.3% of all ER visits are due to flu right now, and that's below both the regional and the national benchlines. And RSV has been down for weeks now. So all told, we're doing very well, and it's quite fortuitous for us that, you know, in the middle of carnival season, we have low numbers like this. I'm very thankful for that.
Any concerns about increases as a result of carnival?
Sure. I think we'll see a bump. We certainly saw a bump coming out of the Christmas and New Year's holidays. We saw a smaller one coming out of Thanksgiving. So reasonable to expect we'll see a bump. But, you know, if you're going to see a bump, you might as well see it when your numbers are low as opposed to when your numbers are already high. So, you know, this really sets us up for the best possible case scenario going into the height of carnival.
Recently, President Biden announcing an end to the public health emergency declaration, I believe will end in May, if my memory serves me correct.
Mm-hmm.
WHO extends the public health emergency over COVID, but is kind of signaling that the end could come soon. Makes sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And on the domestic side, certainly not a surprise. The Biden administration has been kind of hinting at this for a while. They're obviously feeling more congressional pressure now. So I think it all makes sense. At this point, with, you know, there's not really a lot of mandates still in place, the largest part of the federal public health emergency are the provisions that were tied to Medicaid and the provisions that required states not to take anyone off of the Medicaid rolls, even if they no longer qualified. That provision had been severed from the public health emergency already. And so that Medicaid provision is going to end in the beginning of April anyway. So it actually takes a lot of weight off of that public health emergency going away. On the federal side, they have some purchasing leniency that they'll lose. I think there's going to be some coverage issues on how COVID tests and therapeutics get covered, but this is not a surprise. This has been hinted at for quite a while, and I think the time is right. We're clearly not in a national emergency the way that we were at earlier points in the pandemic. You have to end it sometime. To me, the more important thing is that it gets ramped down in a responsible, orderly fashion, not just haphazard middle of the night. And I think that's what's going to happen. So I feel good in Louisiana. I think we're adequately prepared for it. We've been preparing for a while for it.
So when we say, and you and I have talked about this a lot, you know, about how we come to the end of a pandemic. When is it an endemic? Folks are still saying that there's going to be huge downstream implications for the entire healthcare system as a result of weaning ourselves off of this pandemic. What does ramp down responsibly look like?
We've got a few months now to ensure that people understand how to access testing, therapeutics, and vaccines once they're no longer 100% covered by the federal government. We have that time to make sure that, you know, there's all the tentacles of this public health emergency have been pretty far-reaching, you know, from a regulatory perspective, and it affects how hospitals adhere to HIPAA requirements. It affects the extent to which people can avail themselves of telemedicine services and a whole host of other issues. It potentially affects the licensure that FDA has issued for therapeutics and vaccines. So all of those, I think, having a couple months runway to ensure that hospitals know what is expected of them, pharmacies, help, you know, give us some time to be educating the community of how to access vaccines and therapeutics. That's what we'll be doing over the next couple months. Again, this is not a surprise, and we were expecting this. And, you know, once Congress made it clear that they weren't going to provide much more COVID funding, you know, we knew that the vaccines and therapeutics would be commercialized. And so that work has already started. So I feel okay with this. We're certainly not, you know, in the situation we were before. You have to ramp it down. But some way, I'm thankful it looks like it's going to happen kind of this way, as opposed to, you know, by force, you know, abruptly.
Is there anything in particular that you're doing as the head of the public health delivery system here in this state relative to this ramping down?
You know, right now we're making sure that we understand what the implications are, and that's going to take a couple weeks. We ramped down on our side considerably just under a year ago when the state declaration ended. That's when a lot of our purchasing ability went down, and we sunsetted a lot of the COVID contracts. So, you know, the vaccine strike teams that we had going out to various locations, all that ramped down when the state emergency ramped down about 10. So there hasn't been a big action on our part yet. We're still working with the FDA and the CDC to make sure that we fully understand what the implications are. I think we do. And then we'll start, you know, we'll spend February and March working on educating folks of what changes. The changes are not going to be drastic, and there still will be access to free testing, just not in the same way it is now. But we'll make sure we understand fully before we kind of go to the public with that.
One of the concerns that you and I had talked about before was around the issue of the cost of the vaccine. That was going to then have to become commercially available. Have there been any discussions with the pharmacy benefit managers, the PBMs, and the manufacturers as to where we're going? I noticed that the FDA the other day is kind of working with the manufacturers of the vaccine to get to, like, I forgot how they put it, but updating all of the COVID vaccines to like some mixture or some whatever they call it, to standardize this, in anticipation of what's about to happen.
Yeah, it's an interesting issue. So, you know, for people that are clients of pharmacy benefit managers, or, you know, people that deal with insurance, our expectation is that there's not going to be any disruption in their access to vaccines. You know, the vast majority of insurance policies guarantee low or no cost vaccines for any vaccine that's recommended by the CDC and is on their recommended schedule, which by this point, the COVID vaccines and the boosters are. So if people that have Medicaid, Medicare, or the vast majority of private insurance, we don't anticipate any added barriers to them getting vaccinated or to get boosted. The challenge is going to be for people that are underinsured or completely uninsured. And that's going to be a little bit compounded because, you know, once April 1st hits, the state is then going to be obligated to go through the Medicaid rolls, renew people's application, re-verify their eligibility, and there are going to be some people that get moved off the Medicaid program as a result of that. That's a federal mandate that the state's going to undertake. So we are worried about those people. Don't have any news yet. There's been a lot of good conversations with the federal administration on this. It's top of mind for them. I mean, there's a lot of uninsured people in the country, and it's top of mind for them. I'm confident that they're going to come through some solution. There still is a lot of vaccine that the federal government pre-purchased from Pfizer and Moderna that we haven't used yet, that they still have some type of ownership over. So we're hoping that can be put towards these folks. But in the state of Louisiana, with Medicaid expansion, it really is going to be a small minority of people that fall in that bucket. The most people are going to have just as much access to vaccine through their insurance as they did otherwise. Well, the FDA signaled in their meeting last week, which I'm very encouraged by, is they're going to be encouraging the pharmaceutical manufacturers to move to an annual COVID booster. There's going to be studies ongoing to ensure the data is there. We expect that it will be, but it's in the name of simplifying the vaccine and booster program. It's very confusing right now. Very confusing for even for me, who is pretty steeped in this right now. But it's confusing to understand.
Well, if it's confusing to you, we're all in trouble.
That's right. That's right. And I'll tell you, pharmacies have to have 6 or 7 different types of COVID vaccine and booster. All the vials look a little bit different based on what age you are, if it's your booster or initial shot and so forth. So all of that is ripe to be simplified. That's what the FDA was hoping to do. I think moving to an annual COVID booster that, much like the flu vaccine, is formulated every year to match what the expected circulating variants will be is a good step. Will help simplify this. It'll help increase people getting the vaccine. It's where we need to go. And I was happy to see the FDA publicly signal that last week.
Yeah. And the word I was looking for that I couldn't remember was they said they wanted them to harmonize the primary series of their vaccines. And I remember it was kind of an odd word that I could not recall.
Sounds very nice.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Dr. Joe Cantor, the state health officer for the state of Louisiana, talking about COVID, been talking about vaccines. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back, folks. We're visiting with Dr. Joe Cantor, the state health officer for the state of Louisiana. Doc, you and I have talked about the level of distrust relative to the CDC, the FDA, NIH, and others. But most recently, they seem to really be all over their game. The other day, they pulled Evusheld. Is that how you pronounce it? Evusheld?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Authorization, because they recognized that the predominant variant was not being prevented by taking this medication. It doesn't neutralize at least 90% of the infections that are presented out there now. So it was pulled, and as sad as you that is, right? Because you take a tool out of the toolbox, it's good to see that they're really all over this issue.
Yeah, I agree. I've been pleased with how those agencies have operated the past month or two. Evusheld is one good example. You know, I think it's not pleasant news that the medicine no longer works, but it's honest and transparent news. And when you have a medicine that has minimal or no potential for good, all you're left with are potential side effects. So it was the right call to pull it. You know, it was tough to pull it because Evusheld is intended to protect the people who are most vulnerable. It's given as a prophylactic ahead of time. But with the new variants, it doesn't work. And so they made the good and unpopular decision to pull that. And that was the right call. On the CDC side, there's been some good news the past couple weeks. The director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, has been pretty vocal about what she views as the shortcomings of the agency throughout the pandemic and before that. She came public last week with a pretty bold reorganization plan that's going to touch almost every part of the agency, reorganizing it to be a little bit closer to states and municipalities, and hopefully more nimble, which is what we need them to be. And she announced plans to recruit to the CDC Nirav Shah as her number two. Nirav is currently the state health officer of Maine. He's a phenomenal public health leader. He, up until a couple months ago, served as the president of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officers. He was the health secretary of Illinois. He's an MD and JD. He's a brilliant guy, and he'd be perfect because he understands how states and cities work. And he, you know, he's on the ground as opposed to head in the clouds. He's just what the CDC needs. That was a great hire. So I've been very pleased. I think she's doing the right moves. There's going to be a time in the near future where she's going to need some cooperation from Congress to get some other changes done, and that's going to be hard. But I think she's making some tough moves right now to help position the agency to be nimble and more practical, which is what we need.
You know, I've heard from people on both sides of the aisle that articulated very similar to you, that they're very encouraged by some of these moves.
Yeah, I think, you know, the CDC is an easy punching bag on a given day, let alone now, you know, after the pandemic. But for anyone that has spoken with Rochelle Walensky, I mean, she's very smart. She's a true clinician scientist, and she's a world-class infectious disease doc. And it's pretty obvious when you talk to her that she's coming from a place of trying to do good. So, you know, I give her all the support that we can, and I wish her the best of luck. I think what she's done in terms of bringing the shortcomings of the agency to light is not easy. It's not easy for anyone in that position to do, but, you know, she did it, and hopefully we get a better, more nimble agency out of it.
As we, because there are challenges, right, that are out there right now. And, I mean, there is some sense of exigency. I was reading an article the other day. It was posted in NPR, and it talked about 9 diseases that keep epidemiologists up at night. And you know, I don't know if you saw that article, but it was kind of like, oh, my God, what are we talking about here? And as I was reading through it, and then I did some additional research on some of these diseases, there's a lot of reality to be concerned about it, right? Like the I guess they call it the Nipah virus. You know,
There is
Crimean and, Congo hemorrhagic fever, the Lassa fever. I mean, and the things that the fatality rates of some of these diseases are like off the charts.
Right. And for a lot of this work, the work that the CDC and other agencies do is in the background. It's effective. And if they're doing their job, you never know about it. The recent Ebola outbreak in Uganda, which was brought under control in about, you know, under half a year, I think is an excellent example of that. I'll give you another one, and this is timely. Yesterday afternoon, the CDC put out notice that a brand of artificial tears, you know, eye drops, lubricant eye drops,
I saw
from
that.
The company Ezra Care, E-Z-R-I Care, and it's just for folks to know, this comes in a blue bottle, and it's got little light blue dots on the bottle, and it'll say Ezra Care on the top left of it. It comes in, looks like a regular eye drop, but they found a series of cases of these bottles contaminated by a strand of Pseudomonas bacteria, which is resistant to a whole lot of existing antibiotics. There's been somewhere around 30 or so cases nationwide, a number of which have resulted in severe ramifications, blindness. There's been one death from someone who got septic from it. So they put out notice yesterday. We amplified that notice this morning on our own health alert message to clinicians. For people listening, if you use lubricant eye drops, the company is called Ezra Care, and again, it's a blue bottle, a blue package, and it says Ezra Care in the top left. But this happened very quickly, and this is the type of thing that the CDC continues to do very well in the background, you know, save lives. And this is why we need the agency to be strong, because these type of issues, while not in the headlines, are really important to people's health and safety.
Has there been a recall of this product, and do we know how this has penetrated this product?
I would expect the FDA to issue a recall today or tomorrow. You know, FDA does the recalls, but in this case, it was the CDC that first learned of this cluster of cases. And so my sense is the CDC put out notice immediately once they realized what was happening, which is the right call. And they're clearly sharing information with the FDA, but you know, they didn't wait for the FDA to do it. They put out word as soon as they knew it, which is the right thing to do. So right now it's just a warning has gone out to the public and clinicians. I would fully expect the FDA to recall this product, you know, before the week's over. And I should also say, you know, there's been no cases identified in Louisiana, but we certainly have this product on our shelves and we'll use it.
Yeah. You know, so when I'm reading this article and going through it, I get to what is, I guess, identified as disease number 9, right? They said 9 diseases. Well, disease number 9 is called disease X. And I'm like, okay, what is that? And so they interview Raina Plowright of Cornell University. She's, an epidemiologist there. And she says that in a small proportion of bat species that have been studied, the animals carry thousands of viruses. And we have no clue how many actually present a risk to humans. We don't have the technology to take a sequence and say with certainty whether it can infect a human or can transmit from human to human. We're blind really? You know, as I was reading that, I was like, really? You know, we always think that we're on top of all of this, and the reality is we're not on top of much because there's just so much uncertainty out there, right?
Yeah, there's. I mean, it's it does keep epidemiologists and public health workers up at night. I mean, there's potentially infinite number of viruses out there, right? And we only know about the viruses that we know about, and that's probably a very, very small fraction. And you know, COVID is top of mind now, but it wasn't top of mind in 2019 or 2018. And it had been 100 years since we had something as disruptive as COVID in terms of an infectious disease. So this stuff is out there, and you got to have robust agencies, you know, doing the work. You know, of all the, you know, shortcomings and hiccups during the pandemic, it is important to recognize the things that we were able to do well. From the time that the COVID virus was identified in Wuhan, China, the world had a genomically sequenced copy of the virus, you know, the DNA or the RNA blueprint of it within about a month's time, which is miraculous. And that doesn't happen in a vacuum. That happens as a result of decades and decades of investment in these type of activities. So, you know, COVID is going to continue to die down. I truly believe that it's not going to go away, but it'll be something that's manageable, like the flu. We won't be talking about it as much, and that's for good. But we're going to have to continue to ensure that these agencies, the NIH, FDA, the CDC, that even after, you know, COVID is no longer front of mind, that they're equipped, empowered, and structured in a way that they can continue to do this type of work, because as you in that article mentioned, the threats that are out there are out there. Doesn't mean you got to live in fear about it, but it does mean you got to spend the time and effort to help prepare defenses for it.
Yeah, and just to put things in context, I mean, not to make it even scarier, but when you talk about like the Nipah virus that can be transmitted from animals to humans and from human to human, they break it down, they say medical toolbox. No vaccine available for either people or animals, and monoclonal antibody therapies are in development. And as you go through the list and you go to the medical toolbox, with almost every one, there's nothing developed yet but research underway. And I guess that's what it's keeping them up at night for sure.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Dr. Joe Cantor, Louisiana State Health Officer. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Dr. Joe Cantor, the state health officer for the state of Louisiana. Doc, Rosemary's on the line. She has a question for you. Rosemary, you're on with Dr. Cantor.
Thank you, Newell. It's a pleasure to be back on with you guys. It's been quite a while. Dr. Cantor, I have had 5 injections of Moderna, and I've had my flu shot. And right before I was getting ready to leave for San Francisco, I get the flu. Influenza A. So my belief is, I caught it early, my belief is if I hadn't had all those injections of Moderna and the flu shot, I would have been much, much sicker. Would you address that?
Definitely, Rosemary. It's nice to talk to you again. I'll note that my mother's name is Rosemary, and she's a avid listener to this program, and every time you call in, I wonder if this is the time that my mom's going to call to say hi. it's very nice to talk to you as well. It sounds like on the COVID front, you're up to date with the vaccine, so you won't be due for another booster probably until the FDA moves to this new annual framework, most likely. On the flu, okay. I think what you said is spot on. So we're seeing mostly flu A right now. All indications point to the flu vaccine this year being a pretty good match for the type of flu that's circulating, which, as you experienced, doesn't mean that you're guaranteed not to get the flu, but it does greatly improve your chances of having a mild course as opposed to having a severe course or even having to be hospitalized for it. That's what we're seeing. So I think all of that makes sense. I will say it's a little bit peculiar that we haven't seen much flu B at all yet. There have been years where flu cases went up, came down, and then a few weeks later went back up with a different strand, like B. So this flu season so far has been not as bad as we feared. It got off to a very fast start, went up pretty high pretty quickly, but then came down quicker than we thought it would. All that to say, there's a chance we're going to have cases come back up with a new flu variant like B later in the season, but we'll have to wait and see if that happens.
Okay, because of my rheumatoid arthritis and my diabetes, is it possible I could get the influenza again?
Yeah, it is, because there's so many different strands of influenza. There's large subcategories like A and B, but then within those categories, there's multiple different types. So it's not uncommon for people to get flu a couple times in the season. It's usually a different type of strand. The hope is that when we have other strands come up, that they're also a good match for the vaccine.
Okay, thank you, Rosemary. And it's so nice talking to you. Well, y'all take care.
Okay, have a great weekend. Doc, we've talked about this next topic I want to pivot to. The other day, Dr. Dwight McKenna, the coroner, said that nearly 500 deaths from overdoses of fentanyl. He said he's never seen anything like this. In fact, he calls fentanyl the angel of death. He said in a city that's earned the title Murder Capital of America last year, that fentanyl overdoses may have killed twice as many people as guns. You're an ER physician. You see, the trends that are happening probably before anyone. What are you seeing relative to fentanyl?
It's really scary, Noah. I'm glad you brought it up. You know, what I'm seeing, to be honest with you, is less people that actually make it into the ER at all. We, in addition to working in the ER because we're the main trauma center, we get the EMS calls from paramedics. And, you know, unfortunately, when there is a death in the field, that gets called into us and we consult with them live on it. So there's been more and more cases of people that you know, you never know for sure in real time, but that certainly seemed like an overdose, a fatal overdose that don't even make it to the ER. Statewide, opioid overdose fatalities have more than doubled over the past couple of years. They've gone up in just about every state, but they've gone up more in Louisiana than most states. And what Doc McKenna is referring to is that nowadays, if somebody is using illicit opioids, whether it's pills that they bought on the street or whether it's you know, injectable heroin, something else like that, it's essentially guaranteed to have a lot of fentanyl in it, if not be 100% fentanyl. And that's a market change from 10 or 15 years ago. And what it does is it really just narrows your margin of error. It makes it so if you do overdose, you're just that much more likely to have a fatal outcome. And we're seeing this in kids too, that the really tragic headlines of, you know, kids that have been exposed to opioids and die, you know, if it's fentanyl, they don't stand a chance. And for people that have been in recovery for opioid addiction, you know, having a relapse is a known and expected part of that disease process. If, you know, think about people in folks' families who are struggling with addiction, you know, relapse is part of that. It's common. But when you relapse and it's fentanyl you're dealing with, you're that much more likely to have a fatal outcome because it's so much stronger. So, you know, it's like whereas before you would be walking on like a 20-foot high wire, you're now walking on a 100-foot high wire. The consequences are that much higher.
Yeah. Tragic. I don't know how we get our hands around this. I really don't. I mean, you know, I know it's frustrating you guys. It's frustrating law enforcement, the whole criminal justice system, the whole medical delivery system. The sense of frustration is huge, but not a lot of solutions on the horizon at the present time. Doc, we'll continue to talk about that topic when we visit with you as well. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Noel. You too.
All right, folks, that was Dr. Joe Cantor, the state health officer for the state of Louisiana. We will be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. On a vote of 218 to 211 in the U.S. House of Representatives, Representative Ilhan Omar is taken off of the Foreign Affairs Committee. You will recall that Speaker McCarthy said he would bring that to the vote, a vote, that he would have the votes. And on a 218 to 211 vote, Ilhan Omar has been removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee. When we come back after the top of the news break, we will visit with Ton Trung, WWL Odyssey digital content producer and multimedia journalist. Ton releases a new podcast talking about population loss in Louisiana. Louisiana among the top five in the U.S. for population loss. And we'll talk, the podcast digs deep as to why that is. And in the back half of the next hour, we'll visit with Arthur Hardy. Are we still treating Mardi Gras like a block party? We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.